And hello, life themers. In this special episode of Desert Island Discs, we are turning the concept around, and instead of sending someone to a desert island, we are inviting a very special guest back from a desert island. Adam Webb has been on the life theme of Islands June and has been there for a whole month of June.
Islands of June.
Yes. And he is going to tell us what are the five things that he discovered on that island of June and that he is going to take away with him for the rest of his life. So welcome, Adam, to this special edition of Desert Island Discs.
Thank you, Joshua. This is, of course, our life-theming podcast. We're taking a slightly different form.
Oh, yeah, we're just playing around with it because we might as well just find ways to align it more with the theme. And we're just playing around. So
let's play. Okay. So
Adam, what's your first thing? You've had a whole month of islands being your focus for your life. And what are you going to take away from it? Number one,
I like this insight, this kind of philosophy around the tides, which really, I think ties in with islands because you get a sense of the tides and the water around the land that you're on more, depending on the size of the island, of course. If you're on an island the size of Australia, you don't necessarily get a sense of water and tides if you're in the centre, but most islands you get that sense. And so my first thing, I really love the idea of, we watched Castaway as one of our films, which was actually interesting because I'd seen it years ago and thought it was okay, but hadn't really left much of a mark. But something in me was actually struck by it. I thought, okay, well, let's try it again. And we actually watched it as a film around, was it? I can't remember. It wasn't the focus. It wasn't, the islands wasn't the focus why we watched it. It was more for one of our kind of Monday themes of
manifesto elements.
Yeah, maybe
I can't
remember
what it was about.
Satchitananda, was it? That kind of being, breathing and being. Anyway, it doesn't matter so much, but we watched it and we watched it in the month that we were.
Enlightenment. Yes, it was. It was about like films about enlightenment.
Yeah, and so we watched it in the month of June, and he had a really great moment, the character in it, Chuck, where he kind of gave up. He's trying to kill himself because he'd been on there for a few years already, and he kind of gave up, and then he just let go and just each morning just breathed and kind of integrated himself into nature. And then the tide brought him something which was like a remnant of a ship or something. I don't know, it was cut off.
And it was a toilet, wasn't it?
Was it like a door or something?
A door for a portaloo.
Yeah, something random like that. And it sparked an idea for him to use it as a sail, make a boat and get off the island, which he ended up doing. Spoiler alert, but it's not all as simple as that. But anyway, the insight that he thought was, you just kind of, in surrendering and being at one with whatever you are, wherever you are, and who knows what the tide will bring in. You know, you welcome the morning, and each day things will come into your circumstance, into your experience, and who knows what that will be. And it can be a blessing or what you make of it, really. So that's the first thing, is about just the metaphor of the tides, which has really stayed with me, and I really like that.
Oh, I love that. Now, when you said tides as your first thing, I was like, oh no, my first thing was tides, but it's a different angle. So that works well. So a real insight that I'm taking away from our lovely life theming Islands month.
I thought it should just be doing all five.
Oh yeah.
Because okay. It's me on the island.
All right, what's your next thing, Adam Webb, that you'd like to take away from the desert
interviewer
island?
Are you trying to get in with yours? You're being like a certain interviewer on Radio 2.
Lauren Laverne.
No. No, she is the no, she doesn't do that. There's another DJ who just talks about himself all the time.
Oh yeah, Scott Milley.
Yeah. Let's not be him. Okay. My second thing is Utopia. So it's kind of a dual we listened to some songs, some great Ireland songs, some I knew, some I didn't know. My top songs were of the month were ones that I hadn't heard of before. So the Island Queen, no, the Garbage Queen of
Bird Island.
No, the Bird Queen of Garbage Island. See, I can't get it right because too many adjectives. The Bird Queen of Garbage Island kind of drew with Desert Island, interestingly, by Architects in Helsinki. And there's a lovely line at the end of the Architects one where they talk about moving house, moving on, which we were doing at the end of June. We moved literally the 1st of July here in Edinburgh. And it says, we move on, we move house, and we build our own utopia. And and I thought islands are very utopian. If you've read any books about islands, like Swiss Family Robinson or Lord of the Flies, there's an element of building your own utopia, however best you can do that. I think it works in Family Robinson, it doesn't work in Lord of the Flies. And I watched this film on Netflix while I was doing my workouts this month called Rose Island, and it's an Italian film where a man builds his own island just outside the Italian jurisdiction in the Mediterranean. And he builds this island, and it's like his own utopia. Utopia is very much a dominant theme of islands that I feel is very aligned to being on an island or discovering an island or how to enjoy an island.
Oh, wonderful. So what's your next one, Adam Webb?
My third one is learning. So what I've learnt about different islands across the world. We played our own game, which we created years ago, called Mogadishu, named after Mogadishu and Pristina, two capital cities of the world, kind of portmanteaued, because we looked at every capital city and saw which one we would go to on holiday, which ended up being, do you remember which one?
The one we went to was were Tbilisi.
No, Bucharest was the winner.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Tbilisi and Lisbon came second, joint second. So we went to all three in the end, in different years.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we thought, let's have fun and let's do the same kind of thing, a little bit similar, a little bit different, and pick a few islands and do a little contest and see. And let's agree that we will go to this island, whether we go on holiday or we go for an extended break or we actually go for a residency for a few months. So we pitted lots of different islands against each other and in the process of doing that, learnt a lot about different places around the world, different islands that I never knew existed. Mm. And I love that. You can always learn. There's always so much to learn about different things in the world, but not just history, but also geography and the nature and things like that. So should I say what island one?
That could take one of mine away.
Yeah, so I won't. It's not about the winner. It's about the process of learning across all different islands. That's my third thing.
And your number four, Mr. Adam.
Oh, and I'm number four. Well, we actually lived on an island recently for a few months. So I think the experiences I had living on these islands of Orkney, these memories that I've got of the different types of islands and the experiences I had of, I don't know how to sum this one up, but there is definitely a mentality of when you live on an island, different to mainland, which we're now on. There's something about the fact that you can't easily get off, or you have to get onto it. Mm. And so there's this intentionality, and there's a whole kind of there's kind of a process to that, that you have to fly or get a ferry or some kind of boat. And the fact that, you know, that's just an interesting psychology behind that where you live to that. So that's my experience of living in Orkney and knowing that was very interesting.
And how will you take that away with you?
Well, I guess I have that experience. So I have that empathy. I have that knowledge of what it is to live on an island that's a lot smaller. obviously the UK, Australia, Ireland, Iceland, these are bigger islands and it's not the same, but when you live on a smaller island, you have this certain mentality. There's a psychology to that.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned it with one of the islands, Gramsey, where you could just be by yourself, you can just get away. And I think the mainland island we were on was a little bit different because it is a bigger island. But still, it was a lot less. There were things you couldn't get. There were a lot less people. You were restricted. And restrictions, in a way, can bring out more creativity. It can bring out, it can use it, access a different part of your brain. And you have to kind of think more abstract, more creatively to do things. Or because you can't just, not everything's at your disposal.
Mm.
So that's my fourth thing. That experience of being in Orkney.
Oh, these are wonderful things you're taking away, but we really want to know now your fifth.
Okay, my fifth and my last one is distinction. And we summed up our month of Islands of June in two words, and that's crystallizing empires. And you might want to talk more about the crystallizing, but my word was empires. And I realized that an island, no matter how small, is its own empire. It's distinct in its own way, and it's as important as the bigger islands or the bigger nations. So, I mean, a really good example of that is Taiwan. Taiwan is an island we lived on years ago, and it's always left a big footprint in our lives and a big legacy that feels like another home. And that island is as important as the United States or China, which is his neighbour, but they're so much bigger and there's so much more to them. But it's kind of, in my mind, it's a level playing field. And so some of the islands that we've discovered over the years, the smaller ones, like the little Ferrari Gardens, Stanyel in Slovenia, and our little Fangdong Island in Taiwan, in Tainan, a Pink Petal Island in New Zealand, these are all very, very small islands. You can literally see the whole island and walk around it in less than a minute. Even Catherine's Island in Orkney, we went on. These islands are very distinct. They have their own character, they have their own personality, they have their own land, and if you were on them for a longer period of time, you would start to cultivate them and have different zones and understand the different kind of topology of that island. And so it's kind of its own little empire, I think. And for me, that doesn't matter what island you go on, it's very important.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you, Adam Webb. And may you cherish those little island treasures from Treasure Islands that you have gleaned from your month of focusing on islands across your life.
Thank you, and
other life themers. And now let's switch roles.
Okay, well, shall we just finish off with the music?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. All right, just quickly.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... Hello, and welcome to another episode of Desert Island Discs. My name is Adam, and I'm your host for this very short episode, and I'm going to interview Joshua French, who is a life themer. He has just had a month of islands of June 2023, and we're going to hear his top five things that he wants to take from his experience of being on an island back into his life. Joshua, welcome to Desert Island Discs.
Oh, it's a privilege to be here. Thank you.
So, Joshua, tell us, let's go straight into your first thing you want to take about islands.
Oh, first of all, I should say it's been a fantastic month. Really enjoyed it. And it might be one that leaves a real legacy and could be a contender for one of the best themes of the year, really. But the first thing is related to tides, but it's more about causeways. So this is an insight we had that was inspired by the wonderful Davits, which is an Indian word for small island, they're really in Stromness Harbour. Two islands linked by a causeway at low tide, but then also sometimes linked to the mainland as well by a causeway. So I just had this feeling of how it related to life. So sometimes you have to do your emails and you have to interact with people, and that's just part of it. There's nothing wrong with that. So, and that's as if the tide is low and all the islands are connected. Sometimes, like now, we're sat in bed doing this podcast with Moogie, but let's forget about her. She's she's not counted in the metaphor right now.
She's not, but she's here always with us when we do our podcast.
Yeah, she's like a tiny little tidal island linked to us, like a little skerry, a little rock. But anyway, so, but the two islands that they're cut off now from the mainland, but they're connected by their own causeway, is like you and I. So we have our own experience of our Aduan, Adam and Joshua, our world that we create, and a lot of the time no one else comes into that. And then there's sometimes when the tide comes even further up and I'm on my own, I'm cut, that causeway is cut off, and so, and you're on your own, and I need that time as well, like we all do. I need to sometimes do the things that in my own world lift my spirit, whether it's going for like a little adventure on my own, or doing a, sitting and doing a crossword, or, you know, sitting and writing my insights. So all of those are fine, and all of those are really interconnected. So I can be nourished from my personal time, I can be very nourished by our time, and also all of that helps me feel accepting and confident that a lot of the time I can interact with the world with its other challenges. And of course the wonderful thing about that is friends and family and aspects of work that are enjoyable. So not worrying about those times of life where I feel overwhelmed, because the tide will come back and I will have, be able to go back to our world and then my own world as well. So I really like that image and I wanted to mention it so I could remember it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joshua. Great metaphor there. Okay, let's go to your second thing.
Yeah, next one is linked to a book we read, like a children's book about how islands are formed, and then a documentary which also told us about how islands were formed. And I really liked the image of, so the lava comes up from the ground, this is one way they're formed, and it builds up through the sea floor. And once the lava kind of hits the surface, then things start to happen, which means that the currents of the ocean change. So warmer currents come up, which affects the air above, which means nutrients come in, which means that birds can come and land, which means, and then seeds can blow on, and then earth can start to form from rotten seeds, and then life and a whole ecosystem forms around the island. So a bit like the empire you were talking about, and it's very distinct for that. And what I liked about that metaphor is that sometimes it feels like we set our vibration, we set our way of living, dictated by the world that we exist in. But actually, if we really hold close to our own utopia, like you said, but the way we want life to be, and really hold that vision, really hold that we can live in a joyous, playful, co-creative way, and that's what we believe life needs to be about if we're going to be happy and successful. If we hold on to that, then it's a bit like the lava's invisible for a lot of the time, but it is building up, it is building up, and then eventually it will break through the surface, an island will be formed. We'll feel we're able to kind of settle into that utopia that we formed. But also, a whole life system will form around it. So others will be part of it. The co-creative, beautiful entities that we might not even see, but we'll all be enjoying that as well. So it's just a kind of a way of creating our own reality that I think the island metaphor I really enjoy.
Excellent. Great. Okay, thank you, Joshua. Let's go to your third thing.
Well, a couple of foods, but they do relate to insights. So one of them is, I called it Madatov's Island. And basically, I had bought loads of coriander and then forgot to use it for a couple of days. And coriander in a bag in the fridge goes off very quickly. I was like, oh no, I've got this partly rancid coriander, but I don't want to throw it away. And it was one of my days of not eating carbs, so I had all these mushrooms and onions, and I was going to flavour them. So I was like, well, why don't I just whiz up the coriander and then have loads of it in this dish? And because I remember lots of coriander-flavoured stuff in Tbilisi in Georgia, I thought, I wonder if there's an island in the River of Georgia. And there was one, there used to be one called Madatov's Island that had a market on it, but then that disappeared. So I really was like, oh, I'll call it Matatov's Island, this dish. And it was delicious. I think it was my favorite food of the whole month. Wow. And so the thing I'm taking away from it really is Matatov's Island now for me is a dish I could make again. But more importantly, it's become more symbolic of really flavor something confidently rather than putting a tiny bit of nutmeg and a tiny bit of herbs and a tiny bit of this so that they all kind of merge in together. Go, okay, well, I'll use a few flavors, but mainly I'm going to put one flavor really strongly in. So that's hopefully going to impact my cooking wisely.
Oh, I should look forward to that.
Mm. And then I was going to say something that was a bit overlapping with the utopia I've just mentioned and you mentioned, so I'm not going to say that now. But yeah, I can make it for you, that Matatov's Island. But also another thing we could have for dinner, dessert, is the tropical island bananas, we called them.
Oh, they were good.
And I have thought of being on a campfire and putting bananas in the campfire, but Leslie and you and I and Andy were having dinner, and for some reason we had the idea came to her that let's cook the bananas.
I think because there were so many bananas.
Yeah, we had lots of bananas. Some of them were going off. So we fried them in sugar and rum and butter and then put rum in at the end and then cream, I think. They were so delicious. And they were just made of a few things around the house. And so, yeah, tropical island bananas is something that I will make again when we have too many bananas. And also... again, it's like a bit more than just the food. It's remembering to be creative about what you've got in the house, because you can really alchemize some basic ingredients into something really memorable.
Nice. Great. Thank you, Joshua. Okay, let's go to your fourth thing.
I'm on my fifth now.
Oh, wait, did I?
Because I had two foods. One is about island formation and the ecosystem, and one is about tides.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize your foods, you were putting them together, or you're saying it's two different things.
I'll say them as two different things.
Okay, so your third
is a micro podcast.
So your third was the I can't remember the name, it Matatov's.
Yes.
And your fourth was the bananas.
Yes.
Great. Well, let's roll on with your fifth insight, or the fifth idea that's come from islands that you want to take away from this theme.
Well, I was just listening to this podcast with someone called Adam Webb, and he mentioned this game that he played with his partner where they went through all these things. And that's a coincidence, because I played a game and I went through all these islands with my partner, and the winner of it was Shodashima.
Ah.
And so I'm gonna take this away from as a key thing from the month, because I know that we will go to Shodashima. I know that we will have a wealth of wonderful moments, and we'll treasure those throughout our lives. But even just the act of building up the anticipation about it has created lovely moments. And really enjoyed the game we played together. There's something called Maze Town. There's like a pilgrimage trail. There's lots of olive related things, and I just think it's ripe for lots of Aduan adventures, and I'm really looking forward to going with you.
Is it ripe yet?
No, because of Moogie, we can't put her in a guinea pig hotel for that long.
So it's kind of it's budding, or it's not ripe yet, but it will be in a few years maybe.
Yes, it's budding. It's
budding. Or is it budding, or is it even just in the ground? Just
the ground is pregnant with the thought.
It's pregnant, yeah.
It's got the glint in the eye of what the budding island of Shodashima might look like when it's full to bursting.
So, yeah, who knows? We will be coming to you from the island of Shodashima one day, this podcast. A theme, olives, will probably be a good one to do there. Like you said, it's...
Yeah.
Full of olives.
Olive oil? Popeye?
Oh, yeah.
Be a good one. But that's not the theme this month.
No.
Because we're now just creeping into July 2023. And what's our theme now, Adam Webb?
Our theme for July is pond life, or ponds.
And I really like the flipping the negative. So now instead of land surrounded by water, it's water surrounded by land. And of course, all the life that is in there is going to be good to look at. I saw a frog yesterday in Mum's pond.
Yeah, we have a pond just in the back garden here. We're here for a couple of months. So this whole month of ponds, we have our own pond to go down to every day, which we're going to do in a minute, and do some of our morning meditation and see what we can find before we get into the day. So we hope you've had a wonderful month of June, and any islands that you might have been on or researched or love. And we hope you have a fantastic July and find some ponds if you can.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and wondering how to find out more about life theming, then just go on the www.theforgottengame.com website, and then you can find contact details there, and you can suggest your own themes and join in.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joshua.
Love to you, Adam. Love to you, Moogie. And love to all of you.
Love to you. And see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Da 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 da